right, so coming up, we will talk with Adam. But yeah, it is interesting though, right? I mean, you're talking about, I guess, the most confident 2-6 team in the history of Chicago Bears football. This team, of course, started off so poorly, but they've gotten a bunch of injured players back, which is great, of course, to have Eddie Goldman, obviously the play of Pernell McPhee. It feels like, you know, after the bye week, there are more that are coming back, so hopefully they are returning. We will see if they are. Adam Hoge, of course, our guy who's been covering them at Halas Hall, we'll get him on the line in just a second. But it is true. Think about it. Chicago Bears, if they can run the table, and the table is set as we hit November, and this is a terrible thing to talk about because a team that is 2-6 is a team that you don't want to be talking about running the table. You'd rather have them at 4-4 or something like that. But they've got Tampa. They've got Tennessee, I believe, coming up. They've got rematches with the Lions, Vikings, and Packers. And they've got a lot of other winnable games on this schedule. So it is not out of the question that the Bears could be much more competitive in the second half of the season, which, again, is just frustrating because, as a fan, you don't want them to start so poorly that they have to dig themselves out of the hole. If you think about it, too, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you watch this season, two games come to mind with Brian Hoyer as quarterback, one on the road in Indianapolis and one at home against Jacksonville. Imagine where we would be at for the Chicago Bears if they were able to get to 4-4, if they didn't lose those games that were both winnable. The game in Jacksonville, they were winning, I think, 13-0 in the fourth quarter, and they lost that game 17-16. In the Indianapolis game, they were going back and forth with scores towards the end of that thing, and the Bears had the ball, Hoyer driving down in Indianapolis territory, and he could not convert on a final fourth down that would have given the Bears the win. So you could see it's been close. They even had the lead against the Texans in game one, and Jay Cutler, this kind of fell apart in the second half. But they went into the fourth quarter with that. All right, I think I hear some rumbling on the line. Adam Hoge, WGN Radio Sports, you there, buddy?
I'm here.
Yeah, there we are. How are you, man? I was filling time by talking about how this team should at least be 4-4. But talking about a team that's 2-6, this is a confident 2-6 team.
Yeah, I'd say so, especially because they've spent so much of the first half of the season dealing with so many key injuries. They know that I think they feel the same way you do, Justin, that they should have beaten the Colts, they should have beaten the Jaguars, and if they had Jay Cutler, I believe they do win both of those games. So they, you know, with all the injuries they've had, losing two Pro Bowl guards for a game, losing Jay Cutler, losing Kevin White, losing Eddie Goldman, who could be back week, on defense, they're not having Pernell McPhee for the first six games. There's a lot of reason to look at this roster and say that it should be better in the second half of the season. And we did this on our podcast today, Intentional Grounding. You can get it on WGNRadio.com. But we went through the second half schedule. I came up with 5-3 when I was done with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it, okay, let's dial it down to 4-4. Let's say they lose a game they shouldn't. But the point there is that, you know, 500 is kind of a conservative prediction for the second half of the season.
Yeah, and that's what I was just mentioning. It's hard as a Bears fan for this team to have dug such a hole, to lose six games and the first eight. That's a terrible, terrible season. And just last week we were talking about whether or not this is a team that would be fighting for a number one pick position in next year's NFL draft. But the arrow is pointing up with the return of Jay Cutler. They had a bye week. In the bye week, what typically were the successful things for the Chicago Bears in a week that they didn't play? And I guess the answer is just getting healthy, right?
Yes, that's the most obvious answer. But here's a couple other things to keep in mind. One, they were supposed to have a practice last week that John Fox canceled. So John Fox typically likes to keep the guys around for a couple days before he springs them for a long weekend for the bye. And after they beat the Vikings the way they did, they made a decision after that game because they told us in the locker room after that game that there was going to be no player availability the rest of the week, that the players were off. So they got a full week off. So that's, you know, sort of just a mental boost and a reward that the head coach gave them, just sort of a psychological boost on top of just the fact that they also got healthy. in the bye week. And then the other thing that I thought was significant was we talked to Pernell McPhee right after the game in that locker room. And it was kind of weird because he was, you know, Pernell's, oh, I love talking to that guy.
Yeah.
He's so entertaining. But he was in the zone still and he even admitted it when he got done. He was like, sorry, guys, I could still play another football game right now. But he kept saying, you know, we got to stay pissed off. We got to stay pissed off. And that was not something he was just telling us in the moment after the game. But it turns out, because I followed up on this on Monday with not only him and some teammates, but he echoed that throughout the week. For anybody who was hanging out at House Hall, and some guys did to rehab and continue to have their injuries nursed, that was the message. You know, stay pissed off. Be angry that you went 2-6. You're better than this. They proved that when they beat the Vikings on Monday Night Football. So carry that anger with you throughout the bye week. Carry it into the second half of the season. So they're using that as a motivating factor.
So when we think of the Chicago Bears, I mean, obviously the offense played very well against a very stingy Minnesota Vikings defense. I mean, Jay Cutler, obviously the catalyst, as he seemed to be in complete control. He seemed to be the leader of that offense. And they didn't put up that many points. I think it was 20 points or so. I mean, which is still low, and they have an average of one of the worst in leagues in putting up points. But one of the problems with Brian Hoyer was they just couldn't finish. Are they still working on the fact that Jay Cutler gives them that opportunity to finish in the red zone?
Yeah, well, here's what's encouraging. They did a better job of finishing against the Vikings, which is the best defense in the league, or at least was at the point they played. I mean, they slipped off a little bit. They're still a really, really good defense. And they did do a better job of finishing. So against the Bucs, which has a much worse defense, much worse defense, you would think that they should be able to score some points in this game. I think they're going to come away with 4 touchdowns, actually. I think they're going to move the football on Sunday in Tampa. So, here's an interesting comment I thought from Dow Loggins today, the offense coordinator, asked about the boost that the running game gave them against the Vikings, and it was very effective, at least more effective than it had been earlier in the season. The offensive line played very, very well against that talented Vikings front seven. To me, that's still the most surprising thing for that game that I can't believe actually happened. But Dow Loggins was asked about the running game, how much that carried them, how much that gave them a boost, and he said, no, it was Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler inspired the team and carried them on the football field. So there's definitely a difference there that the coaching staff and the players feel right now with Cutler.
Yeah, it's so interesting because Jay Cutler's knock, and it has been in Chicago, is that he's not a leader, that he's a guy that, you know, he can be a guy that people forget about, or he goes and sits by himself on the bench. He doesn't do much in terms of fraternizing with his teammates or doing pump-up speeches. But he's back from his injury in the game against Minnesota on Monday night. There were reports about an inspiring speech at the beginning. You see him on the sideline talking more to players. I mean, can we expect this Jay Cutler for the quarterback of the Chicago Bears moving forward?
Yeah, and the thing is this has been the Jay Cutler that's been around for the last 3 or 4 seasons, and that's despite the fact that he was completely thrown under the bus by the coaching staff in 2014 in Mark Trestman's last year, that whole incident with Aaron Cromer.
Yeah.
I was very critical of John Fox a couple weeks ago, and I wrote about this on WGNRadio.com, that I didn't think that he supported, that John Fox supported Jay the way that he should have during the time that Jay was out. So he hasn't, other than the giant contract he got, which is certain, you know, money talks, and that's certainly supportive from the organization. But, you know, other than that, I'm not sure the organization has always been there for him the way that he has been the last few years for the Bears. And he turned a corner a few years ago. You saw it with the media first. Also within, you know, the locker room flipping over, I think, helped too. There were a lot of guys that were established on this defense back when Jay first got here in 2009 that I don't think he ever won over. Guys like Lance Briggs, for instance. So I think as the locker room flipped over, that helped as well.
Yeah.
The problem that keeps bringing this conversation up, I think, is really the national narrative. They're just never really going to accept that Jay Cutler actually is a leader, that his locker room actually does believe in him.
Whenever things go wrong, he's the one that gets blamed, and they don't talk about him when they're winning. Right.
Yeah, and you have ex-players like Charles Woodson that go on TV and say, oh, this guy's not tough. And that was week two against the Eagles when literally 10 minutes later, Jay Cutler came out and played with a sprained thumb on his throwing hand and tried to play through it the rest of the game. But Charles Woodson's on
anyone
TV
saying,
oh, he's not tough. And it's just wrong.
Enough of Charles Woodson, right? First off, as a Bears fan, you say whatever you want about Jay
Cutler.
Well,
he was the guy who said he's always going to throw you the ball.
Yeah, that guy, he had a tremendous career, and it was made really special by his ability to pick off Jay Cutler at the right time. We're talking with Adam Hoge, WGN Radio Sports, about the Bears. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, kind of an up-and-down season, but Jameis Winston, he is turning into the quarterback that they drafted last year, the year before. Was it his 2 year or 3 year guy now? But beyond, I mean, he's starting to show, and Vic Fangio actually picked that up, that he is actually becoming an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he is. I still think he makes mistakes at times. You know, he sort of has that gunslinger mentality where he's going to make some mistakes and trust his arm a little bit too much. He's a good player. I always preferred Mariota coming out of the draft that year because I just thought Mariota was safer with the football. Maybe didn't have as high of a ceiling, but was still somebody that you can rely on. I think he's coming into his own with the Titans a little bit this year too. But there's no question that Winston is a guy that you have to scheme for, you have to be ready for. I think it helps that the Bears saw him, you know, just last December. They went down to Tampa last year. This is a game that, you know, maybe in the old NFC Central days that where you played the Bucs twice a year that they knew this team well. But, you know, for the most part now, not as well. But in this situation where, in fact, that's their last road win was in Tampa last December. So this is a team that I think they're going to be prepared for. I think it's a team they match up well against. And it's a game, really, frankly, I think the Bears should win. However, the Bucs are also going to look at the Bears' 2-6 record, the fact that there's a slight 1-point favorite in this game, and say, well, this is a game we should win too. So we'll see how it plays out on Sunday.
All right, so let's talk about what I'd love to get from you is just a matchup. When I think of the matchups, and that's the fun part about football, I think about Mike Evans and Jameis Winston against a kind of no-name cornerback sort of carousel for the Chicago Bears. We've seen this in the last couple of weeks. Sam Bradford was not able to really expose it, but the week before, you see more and more quarterbacks kind of going after some of the new guys, even the guys, I don't even know their names. I know their numbers, maybe number 22, number 20, guys like that are in the back end of the Bears defense.
Well, and that's an area the Bears hope to be healthier at this week. Bryce Callahan emerged earlier in the season as an actual guy who can play for you as your number two corner right now across from Tracy Porter. And one of the things coming out of the bye is healthy as they're getting. Callahan still dealing with a hamstring. Tracy Porter was still limited in practice today with a knee. I think we know Porter's going to play through this type of stuff and still be effective. But Callahan, the last two games he's tried to go out there with this injury, has not been all that effective. And that's where you've seen a guy like Jacoby Glenn, who was out there and kept struggling to the point where they demoted him to the practice squad. You had Devontae Bousby the last few weeks.
That's who I'm thinking about. Yeah,
who's somebody no one's ever heard of. Cravon LeBlanc is the nickel who, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago no one had ever heard of. That's because he wasn't even here in training camp. They picked him off of waivers from the Patriots at the start of the season. And Callahan was the nickel to start the season. Now he's on the outside, and they desperately need him there and to actually play and be effective. So that's a big question mark, I think, in this game. Yeah. You'll probably see Porter mostly go up against Mike Evans, but Callahan needs to be out there. He needs to be effective because otherwise you start getting too deep into this cornerback rotation, and it's just not very good.
And 224 reminds us that Mike Evans may be the best wide receiver in the league. He is showing so much and very quietly with Jameis Winston, but he puts up some numbers.
Yeah, he does. He's cleared, too, from this concussion he was dealing with, so he's definitely going to be out there this week. Doug Martin, the running back, he's still dealing with the hamstring. They're hoping to get him back this week. Remember, the Bears forced 2 fumbles against Martin last year in December. Interestingly enough, it's a guy the Bears had cut, Jaquiz Rogers, at the start of the season, who actually filled in for Martin played pretty well, but now he's dealing with a foot and hasn't been practicing, so I don't know.
All right, give me a quick prediction. Who do you got for Sunday?
I have the Bears winning 28-20. I think there's even a little bit of space in this game. I like the momentum, right, that they have coming off the bye week. They're healthier.
I think we just lost Adam there, but he, as he was saying, they were healthy. And I will also say it's nice to have the Chicago Bears back on Sundays.
It's like they had that run with Thursday night,
Monday night, a bye. It'll be a Sunday 12 o'clock game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Adam Hoge, WGN Radio Sports, joins us every Thursday to give us a preview of the week's Bears game.